eu un haiduc și te rog, iubirea mea, primește fericirea. Alo, alo, sunt eu, Picasso, ți-am dat beep.
Do you guys know what language that song's in?
Romanian, right?
Spanish.
I believe it's Hungarian. No, I'm sorry. You're right. I think it's...
I think it's Romanian.
Don't you
know like all the words to that?
I used to, yeah.
Your brother, I think Frank definitely does.
Jake Gomes. Jake Gomes still knows all the words. Jake Gomes, I know you don't listen to this broadcast, but that was for you. He's the man. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Will Sam and Sam in the morning. Opening up with a little Dragon State Dente by Ozone. It actually has 33 million views on YouTube. And it's them like dancing on the wing of a plane. You gotta love the special effects here. What year was this video made? It was made. Well, it got posted in 2015. So that's incredible.
Definitely wasn't made in 2015.
Oh, it was made in definitely like it's gotta be like early 2000s. That's the vibe. I'm getting like a fake Backstreet Boys kind of vibe. Oh, there we go. We got an animated Batman. Lots of things going on. But all right. Beyond that. Welcome to Will, Sam, and Sam in the Morning. I'm Sam Anthony. Alongside me, Samuel Elizabeth Ference. Making his return, we had killed him off in the previous episode saying we were going to just turn it into the Will and Sam show.
That's true.
He's made a valiant return. It was actually all part of a publicity stunt to get people into the show. And then, bang! You know, because they're all like, oh, no, Sam
right
Ference is gone. Thank goodness. Now we're going to watch the show or listen to the show more. But now they're locked in and they have to have Sam. Are you staying around? How's the Panera Bread thing going?
Panera Bread's going really well. I really enjoy it. I'm good at my job, and
delivering Panera Bread.
Hey, it's
but they don't deliver to Robert Morris.
Hey,
this is blasphemy.
It's coming soon. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll be gone by then. All right, and
that's
I can't get my bread
true.
Bowls delivered
unless you work around here.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing a really cool promotion. Like I don't really understand it, but it's like I guess it's a double bread bowl, so you get
I've seen the double bread bowl, but explain
a loaf of I think it's either sourdough or marble rye. They just cut two big holes in it,
yeah,
and just fill it up with soup, and the idea is that you sit across from someone and share it.
No, definitely people are definitely eating just the whole thing.
No,
themselves.
I'll bring Morgan. She'd be into that.
I'd smack that. Like just
please don't ever say I'd smack that.
About food.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that.
Really? I say it all the time this semester.
Oh, I'm going to smack that sandwich. Like,
yeah,
all I'm picturing is you with like a lock and load and just slapping it, like hitting it on the table. You're like, oh, smack that.
Can't leave this one in.
Oh, wait, it's all right. Hold on. Look, I already marked where it is so that I can cut it out later.
Man,
I'm real bad lately. Crap.
It's the second time.
3 minutes in, too. Woo! All right, well.
Can't hide it
40 goodness.
Minutes into the show.
Don't tell it.
Hey, when you're really hungry and you're Romo's eyeing down a Papa Sal, you're like, man, that would smack right now.
No.
Yeah.
No. Can I Google like smack and food? Like I would.
You're probably gonna find videos of people like smacking each other with like ham or
food.
Something.
That food smack.
I just like no. All that comes up is Urban Dictionary definitions, which definitely doesn't mean that it looks like it'll taste good. Yeah. No. Nope. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to disagree with you.
Hey, it's a new trend I started. It'll catch on here soon.
I mean, all right, whatever works. Because also what comes up is videos that are just titled Smack That Booty. So.
Oh, boy.
Can't cut that out of the show, Sam.
I mean, that's fine. That's not swearing. That's just pointing out that its buttocks is
there.
Being slapped. Or smacked, as Sam would say. But, you know, wow. This is just not the direction I thought the show would go. But
can we talk about sports?
I mean, okay. Can you? One last question about these bread bowls. Can you get mac and cheese in the bread bowl?
I don't think so.
That would have been a move.
I think you can in the regular ones, though, right?
No.
The singular? Really? That would have been.
I'm
would
Googling Panera Bread
it's
items.
It's a bowl of soup.
Right, but I thought you could put other items in it.
I've never seen someone put mac and cheese in.
I would totally do that and then just eat the cheesy bread that's left over.
Yeah, it looks like how much is a mac and cheese bread bowl at Panera? You can get a mac and cheese bread
bowl.
Okay, that
was $5.99.
Okay. That would smack.
Yeah.
That really would.
Oh yeah.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah. I'll support your smack theory.
I'd smack that right into my mouth.
Now if I had money, I'd go, but I have no money.
Same.
Me and Will are trying to save for spring break. I get paid on Thursday.
I might not get paid until the end of March, so shout out RMU payroll.
Rip to Will Camilleri. It's been nice.
They're usually good with direct deposit.
Yeah, no, Noah said that apparently it might, like, because of when we started, it might be the end of March, not the end of February, that we get first paid.
Well, at least you'll get a big paycheck at the end of March.
That's true.
But
that's right. After when I need to spend money. So. Yeah.
All right.
NEC championship or tournament coming up, right?
Yeah, I have the men's and women's brackets up right now.
I mean, that's exciting. First off, women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Big win last night against LU Brooklyn, who, by the way, brought like 8 players. That's
really?
Literally all they had. It was not good. But
they're
Robert Morris.
They're trimming down for those LIU post players to come in.
That's what it seems like. But yeah, big win. So now no matter what, they clinched at least a share of the regular season title. They would have to lose out, and Sacred Heart would have to win out for them not to, you know, win out by themselves.
Yeah.
Which isn't going to happen. Because, I mean, if Robert Morris lost out, there'd be bigger problems than, you know, owning just a share.
One of those games is against Sacred Heart.
Yes.
At Sacred Heart.
Yes, and one is against St. Francis. So two
home.
Tough games,
last
but
one.
You have to. I mean, what's the third one?
Wagner.
Wagner. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, I think worst case scenario for Robert Morris would be that they lose those two.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the challenge with Sacred Heart is that it's on the road. I think St. Francis provides less of a dynamic at home. That's just me. Mm-hmm. But, Will, you said you have the bracketology up.
Yeah, so we have. So it's there are no teams currently. It's just the actual, like, when the games will take place because it's the PDF that you can fill out yourself.
I mean, I can bring up the bracketology.
Yeah, the NEC. A
bracket challenge here on the show.
Oh, I think we definitely should.
Oh, that's definitely going to happen.
Are these computers connected to a printer, Sam?
Yeah.
Well, I'll definitely print these out for us. We can predict the men's and women's.
Oh, that's a lot. I don't know if I want to predict. That's just like impossible.
Well, then what happens?
Okay, so then we can once the quarterfinals are set, we can do that.
Oh, you're talking about NEC tournament?
Yeah,
bracket.
Not
oh,
the.
Oh, I
no.
think about NEC. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's fine. Yeah, we can do some NEC tournament bracketology.
Yes. So right now the men's quarterfinals start March 6th, which is a day before the women's regular season ends, which
yes.
is interesting.
Well, they always start a week earlier.
That's true. And then the women's begin Monday, March 11th.
Yes. So as of right now, by the way, mm-hmm. In ESPN bracketology for women's basketball, they have Robert Morris playing UConn.
Interesting. And they're the UConn is the four right now, number four.
I don't know if that's the case anymore.
My guess is I don't think they're number one.
No, they're not. Baylor's number one. UConn's number two. Louisville's number three, and Notre Dame is number four.
Oh, if we could play a little worse and go play Baylor, that would be pretty fun.
That
would be great. I'd go to Texas.
Well, we'd have to play. Yeah, I mean, you're right. A little. Actually, so here's the thing. Ooh, no. Yeah. The thing is the way they set up that first round
mm-hmm.
is the 16 seeds are more based on like what's the most convenient location, because that's why Robert Morris is at UConn, because
that's not what I want.
That's not a bad haul for them.
I don't want you to.
Louisville
tell me that,
is projected
Sam.
To play North Carolina A&T, so that makes sense because it's closer. Baylor is predicted to play Southern. Which is the closest one. And then and then Notre Dame is projected to play Mercer. So the only switch I could foresee happening as a 16 seed is potentially if North Carolina A&T doesn't make it and they go Louisville, because Louisville's closer
to
UConn.
That would be fun. I'd go.
Or Notre Dame again.
I don't want
are small.
Personally, I don't want UConn or Notre Dame just because I've already been there.
I want Notre Dame because I didn't get to go
somewhere else.
And I instead cried, went on a Nikki. Walked off the court for the last time.
I'd rather, of the two, I'd rather go to Notre Dame, because Notre Dame, we were on the floor as the band. When we were at UConn, we were up in the stands.
I will say,
I
though,
like that.
Louisville, Kentucky, good time. Would I live there? No. Would I go there to hang out and have some fun? Good time.
Sam Anthony, do you think if RMU women's went out, would they be a 15 seed?
That would put them at 29 outright champions.
Yeah.
And
I'm telling you right now, no, because I'm going to list you the 15 seeds, their conference, and their record.
Mm-hmm.
The first 15 seed in Robert Morris's bracket is VCU. They are 20-7. They are 12-2 in the Atlantic 10. So way better conference. Only one more loss in that conference, already 20 wins. Then you have New Mexico State, 20-6, 12-1 in the WAC. Way better conference.
Is it?
Yes. The Western Athletic Complex. or Western Athletic Conference.
You're so used to the NAC.
I know. yeah, for real though. That's literally why that happened. And then you have Idaho, 16-9. Okay. 13-3 in the Big Sky. No, you got to remember, all conferences are better than the NEC. That's always right. going to be
except
the thing
for
that
like
makes
two
them.
Of them.
Big Sky is the weakest out of those three.
Yes, I would say the Big Sky is the weakest out of those three. The way Robert Morris would get a 15 seed is if there's upsets in these conference tournaments. So a team that, you know, isn't that great comes, climbs up the ladder, pulls an upset in the tournament because they're going to get a 16 seed. That's what would happen. Mm-hmm. The year Robert Morris, you know, or the year last year when we were talking about Robert Morris being a 15, even though they didn't make the tournament, what happened was effectively, you know, if they had gone to the tourney, they still would have been a 16 seed. They maybe wouldn't have played UConn like St. Francis did. Mm-hmm. But all the teams that won their conference, you know, regular season also won the tournament. So things didn't go. And that's the big problem with women's basketball. There's a lot. It's very top heavy. And you can see it in the NEC as well.
Right.
So really the odds of upset are small. And then the last 15 seed is Radford. Radford's in the Big South. Radford is 19-6 and they are 13-1 in conference. Radford is, I mean, consistently up there, usually goes every year, usually wins that conference. So that's a team that if they lost, somehow didn't go to the tourney, that would be something that would be a shakeup because they're a powerhouse in the Big South.
So essentially we're looking at Idaho and Radford to be upset.
Yes.
For us to be put, because we realistically would be the number one 16 seed, I would imagine.
Yes.
So we would be the next ones.
But here's the other thing, because again, they are going to consider location in terms of 16 to 15 seed. That sucks, but that's just
stupid.
But in terms of women's basketball, it's money.
I know.
It's harder.
I still think it's dumb.
I'm sorry. You think it's dumb.
I want to go to new places, Sam.
But I know.
Keep my dreams alive, Sam.
Your best odds in that case are probably Starkville, Mississippi.
Oh, I'm playing Mississippi State?
Yeah.
Aren't they reigning? Are they reigning national champions? Or is that 2 years?
No, Notre Dame's reigning national champions because Arike Ogunbowale with the buzzer beaters.
Let's go to Notre Dame, upset the reigning national champions.
Yeah, no. Men's. What I mean? Do you think we have any chance of even making it?
Oh yeah. I mean, Robert Morris right now. One, Kobe Thomas coming back. Huge
so
addition.
So much better.
It's like an energy to me.
You know when we were talking about there's not that one player that can really get the crowd going?
It's Kobe Thomas.
It's Kobe Thomas. And Maddie, though. Maddie gets the crowd going.
Well, but I'm talking, like, we had talked about, like, no breakaway dunks. And
yes, Kobe's in terms of, like, the style of play like that. Like, Maddie McConnell's, like, a get-pumped-up, big steal and one kind of player, which is exciting plays. But, I mean, you have a guy, I mean, I described him in one of my tweets as the human highlight reel.
Yes.
And I think that that's very applicable.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just, he brings that. He gets people to games. I think... I mean, the thing is that those conference tournament games, if Robert Morris hosts games, which, by the way, if they get a 2 or 3, there is the chance they host all the way through if they go, because in the NEC, a lot of upsets happen.
Highest seed.
Yeah, highest seed hosts. And it's going to be in the NAC, and it's going to be loud if it is in the NAC.
It's going to be packed.
Something to note.
The NAC is going to be packed.
Well, right now, they're number 3 seed.
Yes.
And they're gonna play the 6, which is currently Wagner.
Which, by the way, Robert Morris plays exceptionally well at home, 11-3 at home. I think that's a big thing to note. I think home court is huge for Robert Morris because they do not. And, these home and road records are skewed by non-conference.
Exactly.
You know, because clearly, you know, there have been, you know, going to Louisville, going to USC, going to Missouri State, tougher teams on the road.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, they haven't necessarily, you know, amounted a lot of conference wins on the road either. I mean, let's look at the schedule right now, and if you're going to go through...
I mean, they have 4 total road wins.
Yeah, and how many of those are in conference? So it looks like you have 1, 2, 3. 3 of those wins are road.
Conference, you mean?
Yeah, in the conference on the road. And then there's 1, 2, 3, 4. So they're 3-4 on the road, which isn't awful. But when you look at their home record, which, by the way, they have 1, 2,
they're 11-3 at home overall.
4, 5, 6, 7 wins at home in conference, and 1.
So they're 7-2.
They're 7-2 at home, which to me is a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And the losses, you know, One was a bad loss. Central Connecticut was a bad loss.
That was
but
very sad.
The other one was St. Francis U,
mm-hmm.
which that game's going to be tight no matter how you.
And it's if it's St. Francis and RMU in the championship game, it's very difficult to beat a team three times
and
in
that's,
a year.
And that's the thing. So, you know, if you're Robert Morris, that's the one that matters, man. Mm-hmm. You can go through and beat Robert Morris twice in the regular season. But, and you know, I mean, again, if they were to somehow play St. Francis in the postseason and lose to them, the senior class of just Matty McConnell, who's the only guy that's played through all four years,
right,
though.
And Malik Tech.
But the only that, you know, Matty McConnell would have finished his career going 0-9 against mm-hmm. St. Francis, which means that we, as a collective senior class, guys, would have never seen Robert Morris men's basketball beat St. Francis.
That's unfortunate.
That's aggravating to hear.
Yeah. I mean, but you know that there's going to be something on the line then. But again, you know, these are things where, again, most likely for Robert Morris, unless they, you know, lose these last two games,
mm-hmm.
the only time that they would potentially face St. Francis would be the conference championship game, because odds are they're going to get a 2 or a 3 seed.
What you can really hope, what you would really want to happen is St. Francis loses, which they're playing the same teams we are.
Yes.
Just flipped, I believe.
Yes.
I think we played
because that's how the NEC travels, is they just have it, yeah.
So if they lose to Wagner and Sacred Heart and we beat them, and Fairleigh Dickinson goes like anything except win out, I think it's crazy we still have a chance at the number one seed.
Yeah, you need Wagner and Sacred Heart to step up. And
however, FDU is playing Mount St. Mary's and CCSU.
Well,
so.
But FDU is a weird team, because I remember watching the two games and they weren't so much better than us. They were just better at plugging away, because their guys were more disciplined and not getting into foul trouble, because their bench isn't as deep as ours, quote unquote, for the end, like, you know, deep air quotes.
Yes.
Because for the NEC, you know, Braden Burke is deep.
Yeah.
But, like, we can pull Malik Petaway, Kobe Thomas off the bench. FDU doesn't have that type of talent.
Yeah. And they've already lost to CCSU once.
Yeah.
So if that
I'm
that
not
happens,
too worried about Fairleigh Dickinson.
You have to wonder, though, if, you know, in that last game,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, that first game this weekend, so Thursday, if, you know, CCSU, Mount St. Mary's, they play CCSU first, right? Fairleigh Dickinson does on Thursday?
Hold on.
Either way.
No, they play Mount St. Mary's on Thursday.
You got, because Mount St. Mary's and Central Connecticut, to have a shot to get in, they have to win out. So you have to think that both of them on Thursday are going to come out firing, which then, if you're Fairleigh Dickinson, you know, you're trying to get that one seed. Like, ultimately, you're trying to get that one seed, but you don't have as much to lose because you've already clinched. And, you know, again, the way it goes is, you know, once you get into the tournament, it's kind of all bets are off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you could see a potential upset. And, I mean, again, Robert Morris losing to both Central Connecticut and Mount St. Mary's, it's possible. It happens. You know, maybe that's just a Robert Morris thing. Maybe it's just a Pittsburgh thing, losing the teams that they shouldn't.
That's an everywhere thing.
But because like let's look here. So I'm looking at, you know, Fairleigh Dickinson as a whole, and actually pretty interesting. So they did lose to Central Connecticut,
right? In double OT, they've had a lot of double OT games.
Yeah,
both of Fairleigh Dickinson's games are away at Mount St. Mary's and Central Connecticut. So if Central Connecticut, Mount St. Mary's both come out firing, both win, then they're both going to have to, you know, just kind of plug away in Central Connecticut at home.
I think Saturday is going to be fun.
Saturday is going to be fun because you have some big matchups. You have St. Francis and Sacred Heart. I mean, Central Connecticut at home against Fairleigh Dickinson, that's a potential decider. And then, you know, Robert Morris is going to Wagner. And Wagner's kind of already clinched. Wagner has clinched a tournament appearance. So they don't have to worry too much, but like they're not really looking at a home game in the playoffs. So especially if they lose to St. Francis on Thursday, I don't see them not trying as hard, but you know, when you're
resting up,
yeah,
almost.
Resting up. Because if you're Robert Morris, and or even any team for that matter, and you're sitting at the number one seed, and you know that you can, like, you've held the number one seed, you're probably going to rest up your players.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see that evident in every sport. So this Thursday is going to be all tell sign.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, the end of the season is always fun. And I think no matter who gets in, what the seeds are, the tournament's just going to be wild. I feel like there's, because if there is one sport and conference, it's NEC men's basketball that's has a ton of parity. And, you know, literally anything can happen.
Yeah. I mean,
we could be hyping up this matchup between St. Francis, and they could lose to LIU or Bryant in the first round. Yeah. Like, that could easily happen.
From a confidence perspective, though, how important is it that they win both games this weekend? I think it's important because you shake off a 3-game losing streak, and all of a sudden
and
you finish with a 4-game winning streak.
Right.
I mean, I think that's huge. I mean, because that LIU Brooklyn game was a great win because it was a bad first half and it was a great second half. They outscored them 40-22 in the second half.
Yeah.
And same with St. Francis Brooklyn. It was a tough first half and they came back and they kept firing. And that's a credit to the depth of that team, is that Andy Toole can kind of like keep making switches until he finds the people that kind of have it. Because again, you know, think about St. Francis. Kobe Thomas comes back. He does 13-13.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Kobe Thomas made some big plays against LIU Brooklyn, you know, the big dunks, all that stuff. Overall, didn't do a whole lot against St. Francis Brooklyn, but didn't need to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had the dunks at the end that were kind of like emphatic, like, you know, we're going to get this win sort of thing. But, you know, you have that depth to go do it. And I think that's going to show, especially late in the season.
Right. Some of the moves that Andy Toole makes, I kind of scratch my head at, because just from the games that I've seen, I feel like sometimes there are players that should be in and there are others that are kind of on the floor the whole time and not doing anything.
Oh, yeah. Who are you trying to talk about?
That St. Francis Brooklyn game, I remember he put Wilbon, Dante Tracy, and...
I like Wilbon.
He's grown on me. He is. But he put these lower bench players in with like 5 minutes into the game. Granted, Maddie was in foul trouble, but like he kept him in for most of the first half, and I was scratching my head.
I mean, I don't know if there's anyone on this team I would consider like a lower bench player, though. You know,
I wouldn't.
Or not lower bench per se. Maybe like for, you know,
like lower, do I think Dante Tracy should not get 15 minutes per game? Yes, but you know he's shown flashes. But again, you're right. Against St. Francis Brooklyn, he was 1-for-5, 0-for-3 from 3-point land. 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a turnover, a block. I mean, like, he does a lot of different things, but I feel like for 15 minutes to come up with just that isn't really a lot of stuff going on.
And it's a spot that somebody else could be doing things.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, that's the interesting thing. But again, you know, you kind of see it to whoever has it kind of day, because Malik Petaway only got 16 minutes, mm-hmm. even though he started. And he had, you know, he had 3 rebounds. He was 2-for-6. He had 5 points, and it just wasn't his day. Whereas, you know, Josh Williams, 5-for-9 from 3-point land, 22 points against St. Francis Brooklyn. It was his day. You know, I think the only person that, you know, earns at least, you know, probably 20, 30 minutes per game is probably Matty McConnell and John Williams. I think those are the
Josh,
guys.
Isn't Josh Williams?
And Josh, yeah, but like,
wait,
there are games. John's the point guard. Josh is the one that shoots threes.
That's okay. That's why I'm that. Okay. I had that right then.
Yeah. I think Josh is good, mm-hmm. but I think he shows in flashes, because there's been games where he's been non-existent.
That's true.
I think the two most consistent players on the team are Williams and McConnell, because even when McConnell's not shooting well,
mm-hmm.
he's really good defensively.
Right.
And I think that's something that, you know, is important to note, is that I think McConnell is the best defensive player on that team. And that seems to be the bread and butter of this team, is, you know, again, these two wins, 49 points for LIU Brooklyn, 62 points for St. Francis Brooklyn. You keep, it seems like the magic number 70. You keep a team under mm-hmm. 70 for Robert Morris, they hang in the game. Because I just think that their offense is so inconsistent
mm-hmm.
that they can win those shootout games, but not all the time.
Well, and something that you see, I mean, at least I've seen in this year that's been different from years past, is offensive rebounding. Like, I feel like
they're getting up there.
In the past 3 years, at least, you see them take a shot, and by the time the ball hits the rim, everybody's at least back to midcourt. And I feel like this year you're having, you know, two or three guys kind of hang around and fight for that rebound.
Yes, I think you're right. I think that's the thing. I think you got guys that can do that. I think you got, you know, Malik Petaways, Yanis Mendes, you know, Charles Bain. I mean, you got guys, like, looking at this score sheet from San Francisco, Brooklyn, you had two guys with six rebounds, two guys with five rebounds, two guys with three, three guys with two. So a lot of different people getting boards, which I think is big. And they out-rebounded San Francisco, Brooklyn, 36-30. In the NEC, in a league that's very physical, you got to out-rebound your opponents. I mean, you got to do that, and you have to limit turnovers. And I'd say that's something that they're not as, you know, adept to. Because, you know, like, Matty McConnell had five turnovers on Saturday. And Josh Williams had three. But, you know, beyond that in general, you know, I would say, you know, overall not a terrible performance. But that that's what's going to kill you at the end.
So with kind of the end of the season coming up, looming in the next few weeks, you know, Andy Toole has come out and said that mid-major and smaller schools should treat the one-and-done rule the same as big schools, just instead of players going to the NBA, they're going to a bigger school.
Yeah.
Do you think, and do either of you think, anybody is going to leave at the end of the season besides, you know, Maddie and Malik, and who would it be and where would they go?
No, because I think the debate everyone has is, you know, Kobe Thomas, who's such an incredible athlete, but I think missing 15 games is a big deal. I think in terms of, like, marketing yourself to bigger schools, I don't know how many schools are realistically looking at Kobe Thomas right now. You know, I think maybe there's someone that sees something there and they go, you know, because from what they've seen and they're willing to take a risk. But I think Kobe Thomas is only going to go when that big school calls. And I think if, you know, let's say Kobe Thomas comes out next year and has a big year, because the thing is with guys like Petaway gone and McConnell there, you're going to need, you know, you're going to need someone who's an energy player, who's a difference maker. And he's a guy that can do that. And you've seen flashes of it. He can go up and get boards. He can go up and make big plays. You know, he's not a great shooter, but when you're that big and you're that athletic, you can jump that high. You don't need to be. It just, Kobe Thomas needs to understand his role.
Right.
And he's understood it more. You know, you could see his style of play transform. Because even, you know, last year, he would shoot three-pointers. He shot like 72 three-pointers. And no offense, but he has no business out there shooting three-pointers. It just doesn't, it doesn't make sense.
Now, does Josh Williams have another year of eligibility?
I think so, because he wasn't
included in the senior
class.
So
I'm assuming he does. I don't want to say anything that I don't know for sure, but
it seems like it.
I mean, that'd be pretty terrible by the team to not recognize him on senior day. Yeah. And be like, bye, Josh.
Yeah.
The only way I could see that happening is if he was, like, you know, transferring for, like, a grad year, like kind of like Rodney Pryder. But even then, they would probably still recognize him on senior day.
Yeah. And, I mean, the whole point of him coming here was so he could play with John.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm sure, you know, because he had to sit out last year, so I'm sure he still has that year of eligibility is what,
that
what
makes
the deal
sense.
Is. So
I think you'll see guys like, maybe like Savion might leave, just because every year you see the
yeah, there's kind of.
But where's Savion going to go?
Oh, I don't know.
Who knows?
Anyway. Where's he from?
I disagree that Savion's going to leave. He's from Kentucky. And he came here to play basketball here.
Yeah.
And he is a junior, so I think he'll probably stay
junior?
Here. Yeah.
Oh.
So he's a transfer.
Oh, I thought he was a freshman.
You know who's going to be exciting next year is Phil Munger. Get through it. That's I'm glad I don't have to cover that, because I'm not going to know how to pronounce that name. But he's from Boston. And so he's been sitting out the year, but he'll come back next year. He's 6 foot seven, 185 pounds. They say he's a really, 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 really good shooter. Pair him up with Kobe. You know, you got 6 foot six Kobe, 6 foot seven Philmon. That could be a really good duo and someone that fills the hole left by Malik Petaway. You know, looking at this roster, man, because, you know, Mendy's going to be back next year.
Yeah, you
Bain,
have a good portion.
Wilbon,
you have a very
Coleman.
Small senior class.
I mean, and, like, talented players, too. And, you know, a guy like Dante Tracy, he's been getting good minutes, and I think that's because it's the belief that he's going to be something really good. He's a freshman. That's the thing people have to understand is he's a freshman. Once he kind of gets into his own a little bit, I just have a good feeling about that.
I really hope that happens.
I mean, it should be exciting. You know what? Of course, you know, they also said that going into our freshman year about the team,
right,
with Elijah and mm-hmm. Kayvon and Rodney, mm-hmm. and then it all fell apart. So you know, it's hard. You never know what's going to happen. You don't know who's coming into the NEC. You don't know who's going to go be a star. You don't necessarily know how like guys like Kobe Thomas are going to do. It's a crapshoot.
Right. Yeah, I would really, and this is completely selfish on, I think, all three of our parts, but I would be really upset if they don't make the tournament this year and they make it next year.
No, I wouldn't be that upset if they made it next year. I'd be really upset if they made it, like, the next 4 years after this year.
That's true.
I'd be like, wow, I feel like I was robbed, like, as a student.
I mean, I would feel like that either way, just because it was, like, the year before us they went and the year after us they went. Yeah. That was, and then 4 years we kind of had to sit through this struggle of finding consistent players again. And I feel like now that they've finally found it,
yeah,
we're like, okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah, you're like,
But, I mean, we've had the women's team, and they've been fun to watch.
They've been really fun to watch, and they're going to continue to be really fun to watch. I mean, they've had really, you know, out of our 4 years, they've had, you know, four good years,
mm-hmm.
I would argue. Because even, you know, I would say, you know, freshman year, they were pretty, I mean, and then before that, I mean, it's actually been impressive. If you think about that in the grand scheme of things, how impressive RMU women's basketball has mm-hmm. been.
Winning the conference 2 times in the past 3 years and winning the regular season 2 times in the past 3 years.
No, 3 times in the past three years.
Three times? No, they were – our freshman year they weren't regular season champions. They were like a 4 seed.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, I'm thinking about this year, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because they already
finished it's the
share.
4th year, yeah.
So 3 times. And
3 times in 4 years and hopefully winning the championship 3 times in 4 years. That's very, very good.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think what else, though. All right, 14 to 15. Did they – No, they were the whatever seed, but they lost in the conference championship game before that. And then 2013-2014, they went to the tournament. Yeah, they go a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the you know, I guess the main idea here. But all right, so we're rolling towards the end here.
Yeah.
Josh is redshirted.
Hmm?
Josh is redshirted.
Yeah, okay.
So he's a redshirt junior this year?
That makes sense.
Okay.
So, I mean, hey. So you'll get a little bit more of him,
mm-hmm.
and
maybe next year he'll break the 3-point record instead of just tying it.
How wild would that be?
That would be crazy.
He just comes back and he's like, give me him one more time, man. Give me I'm on Aloysius one more time. He's like, I'll put up 16. That still was the best because Andy Tool had no clue until mm-hmm. everyone was yelling, "We want Josh."
It's been a fun season. I mean, it's definitely been. There's been ups and downs.
Yes.
I'm excited to see what both of these conference tournaments hold.
All right, so to close out,
mm-hmm.
I want, out of those two teams, which ones make the tournament, which one don't? Do you think both make
men's and women's?
Yeah. Do you think both make the tournament?
I'm,
you think just
you know
one?
What? It's the last time. I'm saying both of them make it.
All right. Sam Ferentz?
I like both of them.
I like both of them, too. I do. I think this is the year to do it. I think they have the most depth in terms of both teams in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
If
there's a time to be invested, it's right now.
Am I going to be really sad if something doesn't happen?
Oh, yes. 100%.
Oh, so sad.
It's going to, like, rip my heart out of my chest. But, you know.
It'll be a somber show
if
we do that. But, you know. Hey, fam. You heard it here first. We're making the call. But that's all we have for Will Sam and Sam in the Morning today. We got one more show before spring break.
Woo!
Maybe me and Will could live from Tampa, Florida.
No, I can tell you right now, it's not happening.
Oh, come on. No, like Facebook Live or anything? We can get a Twitter account going?
Live at Philly Spring Training.
Will and Sam's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, boy.
All right, I'm done. Thank you guys for watching. And have a great, thank you for listening. And have a great rest of your week.
Go Colonials.